22nd with the Ralph Winterode Show. Coming out of Alaska, the truth seeker of the far north. Beautiful day in Alaska, and we've had some good, interesting developments down. We're going to have a guest here in a minute. We had some good developments down in Juneau. We have had four representatives indicted. One of them is currently a sitting representative. And it's involving taking bribes for our oil tax and the natural gas pipeline. And we're all real hopeful that we'll get a few more of those people indicted down there. It's amazing that it's even happened, because everybody, anybody with any sense can see of the corruption of what's going on. Of course, they're innocent until proven guilty, but the one of the companies that's involved in this is VECO, which is a does a lot of oil work for the major oil companies. And amazingly, we have a governor, Governor Sarah Palin, that is the first one that I've seen down there that I think actually has ethics and is standing up and fighting. And she wants all of this natural gas pipeline that they're debating about spending many billions of dollars out in the open, so that we can, the people can see what's going on. So anyway, I think it's just absolutely great that it's happening. We never want to wish ill on our neighbors, fellow countrymen, but you know what? If they're involved in doing illegal and unlawful acts and taking money, and several of these, like one of them, Representative Vic Coringham, she's really a nice guy, but guys, she went into this room down in Juneau that VECO had rented, and evidently the FBI had bugged it in video, and my goodness, they got $1,000 being exchanged, and they got the exact quotes of what's going on in the room. And this is after they had raided several of these people's offices. Kind of makes you wonder if they're intellectually got any brain synapses firing up there. After they raided your offices, I think I'd be a little bit more leery. But it's going to be very interesting to see how this turns out. And I'm hoping for a senator that he will be indicted. I don't know if he will or not, but Ben Stevens is his name. It's just my personal opinion. I think he's one of the ones that has really got his hands in somebody else's pocket. But like I say, there's no indictment. Everybody's innocent until proven guilty. So we'll just have to wait and see here. And what I'm going to talk about here as soon as the guest calls in is about what's going on in Iraq. I've got somebody that has just came back from Iraq there. So we're going to wait for him to call in, and hopefully he'll be joining us here shortly. And another interesting thing going on is got a Supreme Court case in on the child custody issues, and it's absolutely amazing that you have a right before they can terminate your parental rights to a trial by jury, so that you have a clear and convincing evidence, chance to prove what's going on, instead of a preponderance of evidence, which is what they do all the time. In Alaska, they don't do trial by jury. They just take away, adopt out children and take them away. Well, the Supreme Court has ruled otherwise. And amazingly, it's been upheld. It's just not widely known. And I'm going to be putting that case out to my special list, and also to the general list. And also, while I'm thinking of it too, I want people to remember that Republic Broadcasting, well, we'll talk about that when we get back from break. I hear the break music, so we'll be back in a few minutes. I want to see your hands in the air. If you're selling these lies, these impossible dreams, you can keep on washing, but you'll never get clean. Get your hands in the air. Let me see your hands. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?
Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Well, hello, this is Ralph Winterode, and we're back from break here, and have a guest today. His name is Antonio Effiong, and he has been over in Iraq. Are you there, Antonio?
I am here, brother.
Yeah, well, great. What branch of the service were you in over in Iraq?
Serving with the United States Navy. Actually, while I was over there, I was serving with alongside the 354 Civil Affairs Brigade out of Baghdad, which was quite interesting. I had an opportunity to do some challenging things, and it was great. It was great being over there.
Well, why, so you're in the Navy, but you were actually inland off of the ship, I guess, right?
Yes. Well, the way it works is now that the Army is spread so thin, the military is called upon the Air Force and the Marines, and the Navy. And we've taken up arms alongside our Army brothers, and we have to go through some of the same training that they go through.
And the way telling me that some of the Navy people are actually going out on patrols and things too, or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, what do the people in, let's say, Baghdad, if you were in Baghdad, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the people over there that are living in that country in Baghdad? Do they want us there? Do they not want us there? Or is it a mixed bag? Or
it's pretty much a mixed bag. You have some people that want democracy. They want new structures built. They want schools. They want they want a better way of life. And then you have the group that is opposed to that. You know, do everything in their power to make sure that our efforts are. Our efforts go in vain. They'll do anything from blowing up themselves to destroying the infrastructure that we've already built. They just bent on destruction. They're bent on destruction.
Do you know what the Shiites and the Sunnis, there's different factions, what are they fighting over? What's their big beef with each other?
Well, the thing is that, you know, as we all know, Saddam was a Sunni. And while he was in power, the Sunnis were the ones that were had most of the control of Baghdad area. Now that Saddam is no longer in power, the Shiites see that as an opportunity to rise up. And to take back what they felt was theirs from the beginning. So
take back what control? You mean of the resources or the government? Or
government, however they feel. They feel that they weren't appreciative of the Sunnis being in power. So now they want to seize the opportunity to. It's just like a gang, These guys, the Sunnis go and blow up a neighborhood, and then the Shiites retaliate, and it just keeps going. It just goes back and forth. To me, brother, I don't think it'll ever end. It'll never end until the Lord comes back.
They've been fighting for thousands of years over in those countries. So basically what you're saying is we've got two very violent thugs, they want to call them they give them all sorts of different names, but the bottom line is they haven't gotten along, and they have no reason to get along in the future, do they?
I don't see an end to the violence. It just goes bad. And these people, let me tell you something about these people. These people do not they take kindness as a weakness. You got to really go over there and just kind of, throw the hammer down. You got to put the hammer down for them to understand, that you mean business, that we mean business. Because, the way that we're conducting this war right now is just, a lot of them look at it as weakness. They look at it as America being weak.
You mean the general Iraqis or the ones that are more that want to fight look at us as being weak?
Yeah, well, it's a mixed bag, it's a mixed bag. But I don't know.
What's the percentage of people over there that would like to see I don't think that they're ready for a constitutional republic because it's so foreign to them. But is there any chance or what's the percentage of people who like to even see something resembling even a democracy, which we know, of course, will end up failing. They always do. But
I think it's more than half. I think the population it's actually more than half, because I have to be honest. I had the opportunity to work alongside of some of the Iraqis that we would hire to come on the base and do certain things from, trimming the palm trees and cleaning up the roads and stuff. These people, they want to earn an honest living.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of them want to earn an honest living. And then you have others that just want to sit back and rob and steal and shoot and kill and do whatever.
We have just a lot of just radical Islamists or radical whatever you want to call them over there and they are two opposing sides, so it's no different than a gang war in our our cities here in America then.
Exactly.
And so how does one control them short of strong rod. I mean, you know, this is, you know, you just can't allow these people to run around because they're going to be there forever doing this.
Exactly. And, you know, with the fact that, you know, you have them coming in from Syria and Iran, I mean, it just seems like it'll never end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it will never end. I mean, it just, you know, I know that the American public has no idea of how many of our troops are actually dying over there.
Are you telling me that that the news is not really reporting to us what's really going on?
I don't know if they don't have the right to, or they don't want to look at, you know, make it seem like it's worse than it is. But I know that when I sat in on a lot of those briefs, there would always be every single day somebody dying. I think the whole time I was in Iraq, there may have been 3 or 4 days that went by where we didn't have a casualty of some type, whether it be American, whether it be a contractor, you know, an Iraqi national, or a police, or Iraqi policeman, or mm-hmm. I mean, it got to the point where when it got to that part of the brief, I wouldn't even, I always expected that somebody was going to die. It just got really sickening after a while. You know,
but what you're telling me is that the people in America are not being told the truth about what's really going on as far as the casualties of our people
it's not the whole truth's not coming out.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole truth's not coming out at all. I don't mm-hmm. know if they want to alarm the people, or they, you know, they feel it's something that we don't need to know.
Gunfire or any casualties or anything that in your time over there?
Oh yeah, I mean, there was a time, there was a point in time, I believe it was, July. I would say around the July time frame, where for every night for about 2 weeks at the same time, we would have Katusha rockets coming inside the compound, exploding. I mean, and thank God, and we had a lot of praying brothers over there. We just prayed and pleaded the blood of Jesus over our section where we were staying. But we had Katusha rockets coming in, mortars. I mean, it was you be sitting at the computer doing your work, and all of a sudden you hear this loud explosion. I mean, it was heart shaking. It would just terrify you because you didn't know, where it hit. But you just felt the impact. It was incredible. It was.
How big is this compound that you're in?
Well, the compound that I was in was actually connected with two other FOBs, and FOB is the same as a forward operating base. And it ranged from I don't even know if I could, maybe 3-4 miles in diameter, something like that.
Oh, okay. So it is several miles. And this type of rocket, how large of a rocket, or how large of a hole does it make when it hits something?
Oh, when it hits something, it'll destroy whatever it hits.
So if it hits a small building or something, it'll destroy a building?
Oh yeah, it'll definitely destroy us. And you can actually hear the things at night. Who are actually walking down the street to chow or, you know, to work out or something, you could actually hear the rocket going overhead.
We don't have any means to intercept those because they're just handheld, or are they set off from vehicles, or how are
these
types?
Well, they're set off from they're set off from because we have the camp is actually surrounded. You know, in Baghdad, in the middle of Baghdad, you have these different bases. Well, actually, they were Saddam's old palaces, you know. And once we took them over, we just turned them into, turned them into office buildings and living quarters.
I see. Okay, I'm telling you what, hold on, and we're going to break, and we'll be back in a minute with more first-hand information from Iraq.
employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful when food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
Well, we're back from break for one more short segment, and I have Anthony Effiong. He is currently was in Iraq, and he was in the Navy. And I've got a question. You know, we're always hearing about these bombs in the roads that are blowing up the Humvees, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have, they were going to put in some protective armament and stuff on the Humvees. Has that been accomplished over there in Iraq yet?
Oh, yeah, that's they've been had the armor has already been placed on the vehicles, so that's not a concern. But the thing is that the armor is doing very little to protect the occupants of the vehicle. Once those roadside bombs go off, I mean, they have these people. Let me tell you something. These Iraqis are not stupid. They're very intelligent. They have been studying this thing for a long time, and they know when to put the bombs out. They know how to hook these devices up with timers and all sorts of things, and they've gotten very creative, and it's really, really hard to try to defend something like that. You know, these guys are, you're traveling down the road and you got a man on a cell phone over a small ridge, and he knows that when this vehicle gets into a certain range, he dials up something on his cell phone and hits a button, and that thing actually detonates the bomb on the side of the road.
Yeah, was this bomb buried along the side of the road?
Yeah, they bury them in the side of the road, and that's you rolling along and you don't even you don't even know it. It's just hidden in the ground.
Don't they have some means, I would think, of surveillance, of going up and
down?
Yeah,
they have a bunch of stuff that I really can't talk about on the air.
Okay.
A lot of stuff is classified, and I don't want to go into that. But
okay.
We actually have some things in the making right now that's supposed to help the effort. Is actually going to help the troops to defend against that.
Yeah, well, you'd think so, because if they have to go out there and they're burying it or something, obviously they can't do that in in a minute or two. It's going to take a little bit of time or something.
And it's done mostly at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's done mostly at night, and they give you, they and during these briefs, they give you, different scenarios and tell you what intelligence has gathered over a certain period of time. And, you know, it's getting better. I mean, we're getting better. We still got quite a ways to go, but things are getting a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. You think we are actually gaining somewhat on the war in Iraq?
I know when I was over there, the team that I was working with is civil affairs is pretty much we go out and we go out to the different communities and find out what they need, and you know, we help build schools and different things to make life better for them. Sewer, whether it's better sewage or water or electricity or trash, and you know, we try to make life better for these people, because in some of those neighborhoods, these people have no means of getting rid of garbage and they don't have proper sewage. I mean, it's really bad.
So what you're saying is that when Saddam Hussein was in power, these were existing problems that his government or that government was not doing anything about. So it's not something that has ceased to exist since we went there. We're actually improving it, attempting to install improved facilities. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we are. And like I said, I'm proud of that fact. You know, we're trying to help. In the midst of all this stuff that's going on, and all this carnage and destruction, you know, there are a good group of us that are you know, we're trying to help. We're trying to do the best we can to help these people to have a better life. And I have to say, there are a lot of ministries over there too that are praying for these people on a constant basis, and even some that have an opportunity to share the gospel, which is awesome.
I wouldn't think that would be allowed in Iraq. You mean something other than Islam?
Yeah. You have your little pockets. You know, there are conversions, but you know, these people are extradited. They're you know, if they don't get out, they're killed. You know, for accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
So are you saying if they convert over, they're putting their life at risk?
Oh yeah, they're definitely. If anybody finds out that you become a Christian, you're done. You can cancel Christmas. It's over.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I mean it's a hard religion. I mean these.
I had heard that in Islam. I've not done any real research and seen the documents, but I've heard that if you convert over, that you're open. They can just come out. Anyone can come and kill you.
And kill you. Yeah, that's the case. There actually was a story of a man that converted over, and his life was threatened, and he had to get out of Iraq. I think he's residing somewhere in the United States now.
So in other words, you're not going to find Christianity in Iraq then?
Oh, if you do, it's underground or undercover.
Yeah, well, that tells you right there nothing's really going to happen much there, because at some point somebody's going to find out, and then what you're doing is you're putting your life at risk.
Exactly.
Well, we'll have a long break here. We're going to break, and then we have a long segment after we come back. And I've got some more questions that we'd like to find out from Antonio, somebody with firsthand information. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Well, hello, this is Ralph Winterode, and I have a guest here, Antony Uffyong, which is in the Navy, and he was in Iraq. And when you were in Baghdad, you know, Iraq is supposed to have a lot of oil, so are they pumping oil?
I'm not sure what's going on with that. I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that. I imagine that somebody is. I don't know if we have any you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know of any. I'm sure they are, but I don't have any knowledge of it.
Well, I saw something in the paper where we took over $12 billion, 367 tons of $100 bills. Were you around when that line formed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were, huh?
No, I'm just messing with you.
Any idea what that money was really for?
I have no idea. Are you talking about the money that was lost or disappeared?
Yeah, they bought over $12 billion, 367 tons of money and $100 bills.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy. Something happened with that money. You can't tell me that much money disappeared. Nobody knows where it is.
That's a lot of money, 367 tons, $100 bills.
that can do a lot for our country and the stuff and the struggles that we're going through and the problems that we're facing.
Are there a lot of private contractors over there versus military?
Yes. And if you are a private contractor and you're up to a challenge, you can make a ton of money over there. I mean, some of those contractors, you know, basically, if you go over there and you want to drive a bus in Iraq, okay, you know, on the base, you know, around the base, you can get
within
paid,
the within area the, of the
within,
base.
Within the base, you can make about $120,000. That's base, and first $80,000 is tax free.
My,
that's the bottom of the barrel. I mean, that's the bottom of the barrel. That's like the entry level salary.
So, what's the range of salaries that the military?
Well, the salary it depends. If you're E5, you can make about $56,000-$57,000.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and that's all tax free.
Oh, it is.
If you are a captain in the Navy, which is an O6, or same as a colonel in the Army, I know some of those guys are making about $14,000-$15,000 a month.
Whoa!
Yeah, they were making some. You know, a lot of them were trying to extend because the money was so good. You know, a lot of people, you know, as far as contractors, even some of the military people go over there to make this type of money, and you know, they have a lot of debt and stuff to pay off. And, you know,
oh, boy, if it's all tax-free and you don't get killed, that would assist a lot, a couple of years over there, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you had some people, you know, a lot of people were in the marriages were ending because of it. You know, that love of money, man, just, you know, I understand some people have to do what they need to do, but you get over there and you start making that type of money and kind of, you know, you get greedy a little bit. And you mm-hmm. sacrifice some of the things that should be important to you, like your family, you know.
Well, it's about the family and our freedom and our soul. What sort of, you know, I don't know, I don't want to dwell on the negative, but when one of the people in the military gets killed in action over there, what sort of benefits does the government offer to those people that are left, the survivors?
Well, if you... If you do have an SGLI,
what's
the,
that?
The rate is just the insurance. It's the insurance that the military gives the service member. If you do have that, your spouse or whoever is left behind will get about $400,000.
Is that something you have to purchase or agree to?
Yeah. I think it's if I'm not mistaken, it's about $20-some dollars a month. It comes out.
Well, that
check.
Seems like it'd be a worth a good investment. Not that the guy'd want to bet on his own demise, but
yeah, exactly. But you know, you have to think about your family in the event that mm-hmm. Something does happen to you. What are you going to do? I mean, you don't want to leave your family high and dry. You know what I mean?
Are certain parts of like where the Americans and the Brits or I don't know how they're. You know, what parts of the country are there? Certain areas of the country that are, I guess, safer than other parts of the country.
Yeah, I would say up north is the most safe. Up past Mosul, up near Kurdistan and Pakistan. I mean, up in northern Iraq, way.
And that's
up.
Where the Kurds are, right?
Kurds, yeah, the Kurds.
Why is it safer there?
Well, they patrol their borders a lot better, and they're very strict when it comes to security. Most of the soldiers that go up there, you know, they don't have to worry about getting sniped or, you know, a bomb exploding or mortar coming in and exploding inside the perimeter.
So,
those people
is that because the Kurds are not Sunni or Shiites or about understanding?
Yeah, they have an understanding, I guess you say, but they're away from all the nonsense, so to speak. You know.
So are the Kurds both Shiites and Sunnis?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I see.
I don't know.
But it's something to do with the Kurds and the way they look at because they're all basically under Islam, right, in Iraq.
Yeah, for the most part, they are. But it's just a different way of life up there, you know. I really, you know, I, I, I wish I knew a little bit more about this. I learned a little bit while I was there, but my job was to make sure that the computers and so forth ran the way they were supposed to run. I was in IT while I was over there, so I did computer work.
So that's all. Communications field of the Navy?
Yeah, it's a communication field, information technology, mm-hmm. and that was my responsibility.
Do they mix up the different, like the British, because I don't know a lot about over there except what I've read. The British have certain areas that they take care of.
Control.
Is that pretty?
Yeah. They have Brits over there. They have Polish people. They have El Salvadorians.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have a mixed bag. They have some Koreans over there.
Do you work together in the same area, or they have certain areas?
We all work together. We all work together. We help each other out, and you know, it's a concerted effort in the war on terrorism. It's a concerted effort, and we all work together.
Now, Brits, now they were that down there that were taken over by Iran, that were captured. If those were Americans, as I understand it, because I don't know a lot about that, but if Americans went out of the mothership to look or to inspect another ship, would they not protect the Americans and not allow these people or at least smaller boats to get close to access to the Americans?
You know, it's funny that happened. You know, I was reading something that said that the reason the Iranians did that was sort of a revenge for some American soldiers or something were trying to kidnap an Iranian official.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I read in the news a while back. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I read.
And do you think if those were Americans that they would have allowed the Iranians to come over to them like that, like they did the Brits?
You know, I probably not. I'm sure they wouldn't. They wouldn't have. But you know, who knows what would have happened? You know.
Well, I would think that they would fire over the bow and say, "You're not going over there." The mothership would have said, "We got some people out there, and you're not going to get close to them." But.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yeah, it's just so many different rules of engagement. I mean, you know, when it comes to war over there and the different rules of engagement, you know, it's almost like your hands are tied in certain instances. You know,
that's what I was wanting to ask about, because I've talked to people that were in Vietnam. These rules of engagement they're actually hamstringing our troops so that we really can't win the war or we're endangering ourselves?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can't do anything unless they do something to you. You know, unless they fire with the same type of weapon or something, you can't return fire with something bigger. It's real strange, real crazy.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
You mean if you receive small arms fire, if you had a 50 caliber or something there, you can't use it?
You can't use, something like that. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I'm telling you, it's some really strange rules of engagement over there. Really.
Well, how do you win a war if somebody's shooting at you and you got to figure out what size weapon that you can use back? I mean,
of course, you know, it's I'm sure a lot of those rules are being broken, you know, but
how do you know that you're not going to get prosecuted if something
exactly,
happens?
Exactly, and that's what the soldiers are afraid of, you know, so it's like, you know, I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Well, you can't win a war. Either we're at war or we're not at war.
Exactly. That's my whole point, you know. You know, you got to wait till you get blown up or half of your crew is blown up before you can actually, you know, start really engaging, you know, really trying to wipe these guys out, you know.
So, in other words, you have to be like a sitting duck, and when they shoot.
Yeah.
And then when they shoot and kill somebody or almost kill somebody or wound somebody, then You may be able to return fire, but then you got to make sure you don't get too big of arms because you really wouldn't want to damage them too bad.
Exactly. You know, you can't, if they're shooting you small arms, you can't send a rocket in there or something, you know, something crazy like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
well, say you had a bunch of them that were identified in an area. Which, what do you have to do? The rules of engagement, you have to go up the ladder and say, you know, can we take these people out and get permission? Is that what happens?
Yeah. There's certain chain of command you have to go through. You know, it's all in those rules of engagement. You know, and it varies. You know, from place to place, it varies. I don't know. It's crazy to me, but that's, you know, that's what. Those are the rules that they set out, and that's what we have to follow, you know.
So, in other words, if you're moving around in Iraq in a whole bunch of different situations, would it be true to say you have varying rules of engagement in different areas?
Yeah, it depends. It just depends, you know. Like I said, those rules have probably been broken several times. But I mean, when you're in a fight, you have somebody shooting at you and firing RPGs at you. I mean, you know, it's kind of stupid to me. You don't have time to sit there and think, oh well, let's see, they're firing at me with this. Let's see, what do we use? I mean, come on. But you know, that's what the soldiers are going through,
Is this because of political pressure, you think, from our country, from congressmen, probably?
Yeah, you know, it's just like what you said about Vietnam. You know, I talked to some old Vietnam vets, and they said the same thing. The same thing happened in Vietnam as what's happening right now.
Well, there's no way to win a war.
Exactly. Why you think we're in the situation we're in now?
Yeah, and then we're saying we're going to send in more troops or whatever, but then they you have to, first of all, get up on the log and walk across and see somebody shooting at you. If they don't hit you, then you can turn around and figure out if I can shoot back, and then how large of a weapon, because you really wouldn't hurt them too bad, especially if there's a whole cluster of them there.
Yeah, and you just, you know, you get into the killing innocent people, and, you know, this person had a gun, but this person didn't, and it's crazy. You know,
a lot of them, if I understand it, and that makes it really bad, is because they don't dress in a uniform. So if they get around schools
who. you don't know who's who. I mean, these insurgents have really gotten good as far as their sniping technology, their sniping abilities. I mean, if we are really taking. Some serious casualties as far as that's concerned. I mean, those guys are getting good as far as sniping. You know, because a lot of these guys are on foot patrol. A lot of them are sitting up in the Humvees that are unprotected.
Uh-huh.
And these snipers are sitting up in buildings, and they just wait, you know, for the right opportunity. When that Humvee comes to a stop, they take aim and fire.
Do they? Do the troops wear body armor, don't they?
Yeah, they wear body armor, and you know, the insurgents have found ways around, you know, around that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't have armor; you have a helmet, but the helmet only covers so much of your head.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So don't get me wrong; we're taking out a lot of them, but it's just like these guys, these insurgents are like roaches, man. I mean, you kill a bunch of them and more of them come. They just, you know, they have dedicated themselves to just trying to destroy the soldiers. And, you know, they hate the U.S. with a passion.
What's the attitude or the morale when they hear over here that we're going to set a time limit, Congress is just going to set a time limit, or the war is lost, and we need just to pack up and move on and forget everything? What's that doing to the troops over there?
Well, you know, I was talking to somebody else about this. You know, if we pull out now, this will be in vain. All the money that we spent, all the resources, all the people that have died, it would be all in vain if we don't do what President Bush has set out to do. And he wants to try to rid the Middle East of terrorism, which is to me is I think it's going to take a lot more. It's going to take a longer time than what they're actually trying to do it in. This is going to be an ongoing effort. But if we pull out now, if we just say, hey, let's get out of here and pull out, and I mean, think about you know, all that we've put into this war already, the amount of money and resources and all the soldiers that have died. I mean,
do most of the troops want to be there?
Most of the troops, you know, you have half that are very patriotic and they want to see they want to see this thing done, and they want to see they want to see victory, and you have the second group who you know, a lot of them are young kids, and they a lot of them are just not prepared to face, you know, being away from, a lot of them are newlywed. They have babies that have just been born, and, you know, a lot of them haven't had an opportunity to see their kids, you know, and it's just putting a tremendous strain on the marriages. I mean, tremendous strain on the marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel for these young soldiers. I really do.
Yeah. Well, we're going to break, and we'll have a short segment when we get back. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Coming back for the last short segment, this is Ralph Antonio. I was in the Navy in Iraq, and do they talk about the depleted uranium and or any of the other problems that we had when we were over there the first time in the Gulf War?
No, not that I know of. I know that you see a lot of those old tanks that were destroyed in the first wave back in 1990-91. A lot of them are sitting right outside the compound to one of Saddam's one of his compounds. So when you pull right up to the when you're about to enter in, if you look off to the right, you'll see like five or six tanks have just been demolished, and they just. And
do
they,
you
they,
see? Do you around the troops? Do you see? A lot of the troops that are getting illnesses that really nobody can explain that are being shipped out?
You have different they're different problems. You know, the soldiers face different problems all the time. I mean, you have a lot of most of it is mental. I mean, you have soldiers, you know, getting injured. You know, I see a lot of knee injuries over there, a lot of knee injuries, and I think it comes from, you know, having to get in and out of those Humvees and carrying around that excess 50 to 70 pounds of equipment that a lot of soldiers have to, you know, haul around. And, you know, I see a lot of leg injuries.
But, well, it's interesting that they don't do any training as far as depleted uranium and all of the ills of that and what it can cause. And
I'm not. You know, I know we get chemical and biological training before we go over there, but as far as that's concerned, I'm not really. I don't know all the.
Do they pass out any doxycycline like they did on the prior engagement when we went in there to the troops?
I would imagine so. I didn't have any of that. I wasn't privy to that.
Yeah, well, it was something they were passing out to all the troops because they were inoculating the troops, and then they were given doxycycline, an antibiotic, to protect the troops.
In the event that, now that I think about it, you're talking about in the event that there's a chemical attack? Yeah, they did, now that I think about it, they did have a medical pouch that you carry along with you, and if you do, if you're exposed, you have to give yourself a shot or several shots.
What do you think we should do, in your personal opinion? What do you think it's going to take over there? We're just going to have, is it going to be a long-time engagement there and gradually phased out, or?
You know, I think we will always be over there. I think it's going to be something like, you remember in Korea?
Yes,
we have a military presence over there, a permanent military presence, and I believe Iraq will be the same way. This thing is going to take is beyond us. To bring peace to the Middle East is beyond us. I mean, it's going to, you know, I don't know what timetable that President Bush has set, but it's going to go far beyond him.
Well, it doesn't seem to me like it's ever realistically possible if you have thugs in the surrounding country and you don't go to the surrounding countries. Well, it looks like we're out of time. I want to thank you, Antonio, for your information. And,
thank you, brother. God bless you, brother.
And for the people listening in, we got some first-hand information from somebody. Be there. Remember, Republic Broadcasting, and send money. And we'll see you Wednesday with more information.